Hi, I'm Tilly. I'm a dog behaviourist down in the southeast of England, and today I want to talk to you about slip leads. Other names for these could be choke leads, rope leads, things like that. It's basically a noose, really. It's kind of often it's just it's one long bit of rope, and then it folds back on itself to make a noose, and that noose kind of slips over the dog's head, hence slip lead. And obviously it's normally made of rope, so hence rope lead. It can be quite controversial in the dog world. Some people use them all the time and some people really hate them for various reasons. So I personally don't recommend them unless it's very, very rare. There's certain circumstances where I do recommend them, but I don't really recommend them. But there are pros and cons to them, so I just want to talk to you about them today. In case you're in two minds about using them, or you know, even if you really, really hate them, there are some places where they are used and they are great in certain situations. So let's go through the cons first. So the cons are that basically, if you've got a dog that's liable, that panics or even is overly reactive, things like that, basically goes into that heightened state, call it like level 10, full adrenaline, barking, or just, you know, massive fear, then this slip lead, it tightens. Yeah, so it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter. There's basically no way of stopping it. Unlike a kind of half-check collar or a flat collar, it gets tighter and tighter. Now, some harnesses do this as well, and I've seen some halties do this as well, which is a little bit extreme, I feel, for halties to do that. But basically, it can make the problem much worse because the dog just panics. So you can get a full-on panic situation with the dog that if they are reacting, you can't help this getting tighter if the dog lunges forwards and you're still holding it. Yeah, and it's very hard if the dog goes into a kind of wild Mustang mode. To make it looser, you have to give the dog a lead. That's the only way to do it. But it's almost impossible if the dog's kind of lunging forward or pulling away from you. So that kind of thing, it can make the situation a lot worse. Yeah, a lot worse for things like that. The next con is that it can cause long-term damage around the dog's neck. Okay, so especially breeds like Pomeranians, they suffer from kind of collapsed trachea and esophagus and things like that. So I really don't like using it with dogs like that. It would have to be a very different situation for me to kind of go that way with it, really. I only tend to use it, to be honest, if the owner hasn't got the right equipment. Because I can't just get there and find that, as often I do, that the harness they're using the dog can just escape from, which I can see straight away. If the harness is, you know, is one of those stretchy ones, or when the dog pulls, I can see that it's stretching, we can't use it, there's no way. And if they don't have a collar, and I do bring collars with me, but I can't bring every single collar for every single dog breed, it's just not feasible. But if it doesn't fit my collar, then we have to go that way. We do have to go that way. Otherwise, I can't work with the dog and it's pointless for everyone. But yeah, it can cause long-term damage. Basically, the rule of thumb is if your dog is a puller, really, you can't use this on the dog. Okay, so back when we were kind of first setting up, we used them a lot. And I'll go through the pros in a minute and why we did use them a lot. But we were getting callbacks from people that basically thought that this lead is like a magic wand. And if you're thinking it's a magic wand, like your dog pulls and you're going to try it, don't do it. It's just going to damage your dog's neck long term. It doesn't stop them pulling, even though it gets tighter and tighter. Dogs, they don't seem to care about suffocating themselves, okay? They will just keep pulling. And we were getting callbacks from people saying that they were, you know, they bought this magic lead. You know, we've had dogs kind of like, some owner reported that the dog's eyes are bloodshot and things like that, which is absolutely not okay. So we have just done almost a blanket ban on them for the general public, because we have found that the general public cannot be trusted with this lead. If you don't train your dog and you don't do the steps and everything, your proper program, and you just allow your dog to pull, you are going to have massive problems with it. So any dogs that pull, you really need to do some training and things like that. And when I go on to the pros, there is at no point where I'm going to say that this slip lead helps you to stop pulling any better than a normal flat collar will do. It doesn't make any difference, okay? It is just a lot to do with pulling, is a lot to do with having a nice relaxed lead and training. Yeah, lots of training, whether it's treats or otherwise, changing of direction, things like that. But there is nothing that slip lead can do any differently than a normal flat collar can't, okay? So it's not a magic wand is what I'm saying. And there are a lot of cons to it, can, you know, obviously detrimental to your dog. But now I want to go on to kind of the pros. So if, you know, if you really hate these kind of things and you're interested in what the pros are, actually there are quite a lot of pros and reasons why I still use them in some circumstances. But the cons are there because I can't kind of trust everyone to use them correctly, unfortunately. So pros. Pros for me personally really, okay, is that they fit all dogs. There's only one breed which I can't really use them on because they don't fit, and that's a pug. Okay, but they basically fit all dogs. So like I said, if I go in and the person hasn't got the right equipment, it's okay because I've just got a slip lead and it's fine just to use for that day. You're not going to get any damage to the dog just for a day, or, well, it's not even a day, it's a couple of hours. And a lot of that's just chatting to the owner as well. So it's just demonstrating, you know. But then I say, right, you need a nice flat, you know, buckle leather collar that you can tighten up and make sure that it's not loose, basically. So they fit all dogs, so that's great for me because I don't need to have 1,000 different collars in the car. Like I said before, I do bring a collar and I'd much rather use that, but you know, there's some dogs that are absolutely tiny and some dogs are absolutely huge and it doesn't fit them. Another thing about this, which again kind of pairs in with the con of panicking a dog, okay, because it tightens. Yeah, the fact that it tightens is a con and a pro because it's escape proof. Okay, like I said, there's only one breed of dog which some can escape from, and that is a pug, because their neck is wider than their head. But all other breeds, they cannot escape from this. So I really like to use it if I've got a new dog with me, like a rescue dog. If, like I said, if I've seen a dog that's liable to panic and they've got a harness that they can slip out of. I mean, 2 days ago, the reason why I'm doing this is because 2 days ago I had a very small little dog, and they'd already said he'd escaped from his harness, and he was nervous, and I knew he wasn't going to like me kind of walking with him, because he was very, very nervous, and I was walking with him. I had put him on a slip lead, a nice chunky one. You know, it's good to kind of go for a nice thick soft rope rather than like a little thin one that can almost like garrote them. Yeah, that's not the point. It was just nice and thick round him. And then a bin van came past us, and this little dog just freaked out. It really panicked, and it also panicked because this lead was getting tighter. Yeah, it does make the dog panic, but it could not escape. And even the owners were really amazed how he couldn't escape from it, because he would have done, and he would have been squashed by a car. So I was very grateful to the slip lead in that circumstance. They cannot escape from it. And you know, it doesn't matter if you've got a bull breed or a lurcher, greyhounds, whippets, rottweilers, bulldogs, you know, and everything in between, spaniels and things like that, they cannot escape from a slip lead because it just gets tighter and tighter. So in emergency situations, they're absolutely fantastic for that. If you think, right, my dog's an escape artist, as long as they don't pull, yeah, then this is great for them. They will not escape from you. Make sure you've got a slip lead with a stopper on. The stopper kind of stops it getting too loose. Otherwise, when it's relaxed, then it, if you haven't got a stopper, then they can get their legs through it. It just gets looser and looser, yeah. So you need a stopper on it, but yeah, so it's good for that. And it's good obviously for me, because I can't have clients' dogs just escaping and running down the road. That wouldn't look good at all. So it's much better for me to just to have them nice and safe and secure. Otherwise I can do it, like I said, I don't use it for all dogs, but sometimes I use something like a collar and a harness, but it means I have two leads, and that gets complicated, and that's even more complicated for the owners to use two leads as well. But sometimes I like to do that as well as another safety feature. Another pro, so they are really fast to put on, as in if you need to get your dog on a lead very, very quickly. So something like outdoors, yeah, I use it for my dog because she's got absolutely fantastic recall, but she doesn't like other dogs approaching her. She will have a go at them. She does wear a muzzle, of course, but she will have a go. So I like her to come back, which she does. She sees another dog and she heads straight back. And then what I need to do is I put her on a lead so I can get in between her and the other dog. And if I think they're too much, I can shoo the other dog away. If I think they're going to be okay, what I do is I still put myself in between, but I guide her face away from its face. So some dogs, they do like to come nose to nose, especially our walk, it's very narrow, so they like to come nose to nose. She cannot tolerate that at all. So what I do is I push the other dog around her towards her bum, and then they often have a sniff. Now I make sure that her head is kind of by my thigh, and I can only do this with something like a collar or a slip lead because I need her head. Yeah, otherwise she's going to turn back and have a go at it. So I get her, guide her through, and then usually the other dog just walks on and it's fine. If I don't do this, she naturally gets in between me and the other dog, and then if the other dog just came up face to face, she'd have a massive go at it. So this is just a very good way of controlling it. And why slip leads are a lot faster is because you've got a lot of things that slow you down with a normal clip and collar. So say that I just had a collar and I was just clipping her on to a normal lead, right? These are the things that slow you down. First of all, so the first thing that slows you down, you grab your dog's collar. The second things that slow you down, you have to find that metal loop on the collar. Yeah, so you're finding that. The next thing that slows you down, you undo the clip on the lead. And the next thing that slows you down, you clip it on. Okay, so all these things are just slowing you down. It takes me probably three times as long to get a lead on than the slip lead. Whereas a slip lead, I have it almost like a necklace around my own neck. Yeah, the noose is around me. It's quite a stiff rope, so it holds its noose well, a bit like a lasso. Yeah, it's not just like a floppy piece of string. So I use kind of three fingers. I use my thumb and my first two fingers to unhook it off my neck, and I just in one flick, I can sweep it down over her head, and then I pull it up so that it's reasonably tight and not loose anymore. And that's it. It's over in about a quarter of a second. Off my neck onto her. There we go. That's literally how fast it is. And it's great because some dogs will be running up by this point, and I can't be faffing around with a collar. And also, if I've bent down, I'm in a kind of weaker position as well, and I can't see what's going on. I want to be get the dog on lead and upright and seeing what's going on as quickly as possible while manoeuvring my dog. They're really good for that. So if you have a circumstance like that where you're like, I really need to be getting my dog on a lead ASAP and then dealing with the situation, again, a slip lead is really good for that, so they're fast. Another time where I use slip leads, again, is for things like when we're dealing with problems like resource guarding. So there's two situations where I like doing it. There's resource guarding, which is where a dog's got something and it's guarding it basically, or has stolen something and it's guarding it. Slip leads are good because you can just go up to your dog, nail. Getting a lead on it is important because you start kind of that connection and you can kind of pull the dog away or guide it where you want to guide it and start your training from there. But you do not want to be putting your hands around that dog's neck or near its head, anything like that. Whereas a slip lead, you make a nice big noose, slide it over the dog's head from afar, you know, pull it up, and then you can pull the dog away. Same if you've got issues with the front door. If your dog, and again, it's kind of like a rarer problem. If your dog's going doolally at the door, some people tend to grab the collar before they open the door to the postman. Now that could be a bite situation where the dog redirects. Again, you don't need to do that with a slip lead, right? Make a big noose, flip it over the dog. There you go. You got your dog nice and safe. Yeah. So those are my kind of pros for them. There is definitely a time and a place for them. And for those circumstances, I do recommend them. They're all good for that. Other than that, like I said, as far as pulling is concerned, really you need a nice flat collar. You can also, if you've got a dog with a particularly sensitive neck, things like that, you can also use a front end harness, harness with a clip on the chest, not the back. And you can use a lurcher and things like that, you can use the nice greyhound wide collars or a martingale collar. Anything like that is absolutely fine. It doesn't matter how wide it is and how cushioned it is. You know, like I said, it's not about trying to cut the dog to ribbons or anything like that, like, you know, slip leads can do. But you do need front end control as an important point of teaching a dog not to pull. But the slip lead doesn't make any difference to that at all. Yeah, it's just another tool in the box to have for certain circumstances. So that concludes my little pros and cons on slip leads, really. Some people love them, some people hate them, but there's definitely a time and a place, and they definitely can cause damage to a dog that pulls long term. So if you do have a dog that pulls and you are using slip leads, you might want to rethink that, that's all. But anyway, thanks for listening, guys, and have a great day. If you're interested in more videos or stuff that I do, I am on TikTok. I usually put my TikTok videos also on Facebook and Instagram, so just search Fawn Dog for those.
And the main website is fawndog121dogtraining.co.uk. Thanks for listening, guys.